You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 1st, 2020, and it is no April Fool's joke. The White House is projecting 100,000 to maybe 240,000 deaths in the U.S. due to coronavirus before we're finished. These models, of course, are built simply as models. It's not the worst case scenario. It's also not the best case scenario. And the infection rate, 1 million to 2 million. They are looking at the peak over the next 2 weeks. But President Trump says it's going to be a very painful 2 weeks. And then hopefully and prayerfully, things will begin to improve. So for now, the White House and all health experts are advising, encouraging, continue your self-containment, your isolation, your self-quarantine, your personal space, whatever you want to call it, to make sure that you don't become a victim and or spread it. And some of the latest reports are saying it is possible you could be a carrier and not know it. In New York City, the mayor has threatened to shut down churches. Religious leaders, of course, not at all happy about that. This is days before a pastor in Florida was arrested for holding some crowded services. The mayor had singled out synagogues and churches, saying he would shut them down if they continued to meet. And yes, I took note of that too, of what I just told you. He said, if it's a church or synagogue, we'll shut you down. No reference to mosque. I assume it would be under the same threat. And of course, there's a balancing act here. But I think responsible church leaders should help make decisions that will protect not only their congregants, but their communities. In Florida, the governor is facing mounting pressure to issue a statewide stay-at-home order. We talked about this yesterday, how blue cities and some red states are in a battle. Blue cities such as St. Louis and and Austin, Texas, and those inside Florida. The states themselves are red, have red governors, and the governors do not want to have a statewide shutdown, saying it is not necessary. It's only in the urban areas, and let the city governments decide if they need to shut down their particular city or put a curfew up. Because there are vast reaches at, quote, rural counties and areas that there's no need to have a statewide shutdown. Russia is sending a plane with medical equipment to the U.S. This follows a phone conversation between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. The president had indicated that Russia would be sending some kind of medical aid, medical equipment. He's thanking them. Small business, according to some of the latest reports, small business in our nation will be hit the hardest in the private payroll report. Small businesses shedding 90,000 jobs in early March. That's before the worst of the coronavirus hit. And, of course, we know it's much worse then, now. And, of course, that's a small business. Then you got the employees themselves. And when it comes to mortgage applications to buy a home, crashing 24% down from where it had been. No surprise there. Of course, keep in mind, in this country, we have a stimulus package that finally got pushed through to help provide money, income, for individuals that either lost their jobs or cannot go to work right now during this time, are being told not to come to work, and our money set aside to help the businesses. In Europe, they've lost 1 million jobs as they have shut down various businesses. And there's no net for those in Europe. The Wimbledon Championships, scheduled at the All England Club, being postponed, canceled. This will be the first time they have canceled the Wimbledon tournament since it began in 1877. This will be the second time. The first time was 1945, World War II. And now it's the virus war that is closing down Wimbledon. But it has to be done. Has to be done.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The worst case scenario is between 1.6 million and 2.2 million deaths. That's the projection if you do nothing. So we've never really done all of these things that we're doing. We've put them into a model. We've looked at the Italy data with their self-isolation. And that's where we come up with, if we do things together well, almost perfectly, we could get in the range of 100,000 to 200,000 fatalities.
That's Dr. Deborah Birx. She's with the White House Task Force on the Coronavirus, and they're talking about this latest projection and the models. And the models are always subject to change, as Dr. Fauci had already pointed out, that you get out of the model pretty much what you put in. But at the same time, they are looking at legit information, and they're looking at what's been happening in Italy as they're beginning to see the cases drop off in Italy. And, of course, what we can get information-wise out of China, which is not necessarily full facts, suspect in many cases. The death count in Italy beginning to drop off. And they pointed out previously that any of these models are going to follow kind of a curve, in the sense that when you begin to see a decrease in the number of cases reported, then you will see behind that, lagging behind that, a decrease in cases that are confirmed. And behind that come those who are in the hospital. And behind that are those who end up getting very, very sick, and behind that would be those who die. In other words, that's the evolution as it develops. And so once at the beginning of the cycle, you see an interruption, you see it begin to change, that's a sign of hope. But still, those numbers are absolutely sobering. The specific numbers are 1 million to 2 million Americans could come down with this virus. And the number might be well beyond that, but they might not even know they have it, or their symptoms are so mild they mistake it for a common cold or allergies. So the number could be way above that. And then you get into the aspect that those who don't know they have it are walking around exposing it to others. And when you move past just those infected, the death count, 100,000 dead because of this particular virus, and it could be up to 2.5 million, or even, as Dr. Birx is suggesting, 6 million. This is not to panic. It's just to make you make sure you're aware and that you take this seriously. I know we've all joked about it. I've joked about it. We've made fun of it. There have been all kinds of cartoons and remarks. Someone sent me one yesterday again saying, I don't know what to do. My wife just stands there looking out in this social distancing. She just stands looking through the glass, and she just seems so forlorn and forgotten, and she's tearing up. And when is the social distancing over so I can open the door and let her in? And by the same token, I've heard it go the other way. Women making jokes about, yeah, my husband wants to know when the social distancing is over so he can come back in the house. We're having a little fun. We try to do that. We find humor where we can. But let us not forget the severity and the danger. And for some people, there is no laughing anymore, because they've lost someone very dear to them, or they're in the hospital right now in dire straits. And yet in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of when we should be kind of coming together for the nation, and why we should be trying to find a way to deal with it, you do have the president trying his best to maintain and help everyone feel assured. For instance, with this remark.
This is going to be a rough 2-week period. As a nation, we face a difficult few weeks as we approach that really important day when we're going to see things get better all of a sudden. And it's going to be like a burst of light, I really think, and I hope. Our strength will be tested and our endurance will be tried. But America will answer with love and courage and ironclad resolve. This is the time for all Americans to come together and do our part.
Come together. Do our part. That would be Paul Revere ringing the bell, right? And where we would come together and do our part. But I'm sorry to tell you, and they should be ashamed, but they're not, the leftist media and the Trump haters and the resist movement, they don't want to hear him talk about, as they would call them, platitudes of come together, kumbaya. They want to lay everything at his feet and blame him for anything and everything. I'm going to give you some examples. In fact, here's something that came out of this. First of all, before those remarks, when he was making those remarks, I'm not sure if CNN was even taking his news conference at that moment. Why? Because they had discussed the other day Don Lemon fruitcake. And again, for the clarification of those who have missed it previously, when I call him a fruitcake, that is not reference to his sexual preference. I don't care. It has to do with he's nutty. Don Lemon Fruitcake was saying, I don't know why my network carries these press conferences live with the president. We should just take snippets. Only go to it when they had doctors and experts up there, not him. Of course, he would never say that when it came to dealing with if Obama were still in the office, but he will do it here. And then you also have the attitude, if that's what they chose to do, that the network brass thought, you know, Don's right, let's don't carry this at all. So they didn't carry it as he began to kind of lay out some of these latest frightening details and so forth. And if you recall the other day, I told you about an NPR station up in Seattle said, we're not going to carry it at all anymore anyway. It's all propaganda. It's all a rally, a political rally without the crowd. So they've already made the decision for you, you the American people. CNN and NPR groups and others have decided they will let you know what's important. They will let you know. And if the president's speaking, as far as they're concerned, it's not that important. And or they don't believe him, and they said, as Don Lemon said yesterday, everything he says is a lie. That's not true. They don't mind hyperbole when it comes from them, but it's obviously not true when he's giving facts and numbers and he's saying that it's time for us to come together. We can do this together. That's not a lie. But they use it as a weapon again. But out of this meeting yesterday, as the president laid out this latest briefing, again, along with the help of Dr. Fauci and Deborah Birx of his Corona Task Force with the White House, giving the numbers I cited for you a moment ago, on Anderson Cooper last night, their White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, who always wants to make himself the center of the story, said that Trump appeared scared. His remarks, Anderson, I will tell you, in 7 years I've covered the White House, that is the most stunning briefing I've ever sat through. To have public officials come in and try to explain to the American people that they need to come to grips with the fact or the very strong likelihood that we're going to see 100,000 to 200,000 Americans die over the next couple of months from the coronavirus, I have to tell you, it was downright chilling. But it is to me, and I'm going to agree with Jim to that extent. And then he went on to say, I will say in terms of what the president was saying in the briefing room, this was President Trump changing his tune. At one point he says, not the flu, it's vicious. That's after he compared it to the coronavirus in the past. And he goes on, again, trying to say that the president just really has never had a handle on it. But then he said, in this case, this president, I've never seen Trump like this. I know people might say, well, I can't ever trust him, he's a phony and so forth. People may say that, but Anderson, I have to tell you, sitting in that room, that close to him, I've never seen President Trump like this. I think to some extent he is scared right now. And Anderson, we could all feel that in the room. In other words, everybody in that room, all those reporters could sense the fear in President Trump because of what's going on. Could they also be confusing it with, one, their own fear, and or two, then, yeah, we should be frightened. And his fear is not so much for the disease, but what can we do to save this many people? But what they want to do is, again, paint it and pose it in the trajectory that it's Trump. That it's Trump. Just weigh that thought for a moment. That it's Trump, and he's scared. I think if the president's taking full evaluation of what's at stake, yeah, I think he has every reason to be concerned, but scared? You try and suggest that he's paralyzed with fear? Well, of course he's not paralyzed with fear. But that's really what Jim Acosta was trying to suggest. And, in fact, there was a piece written with a editorial board from Boston Globe that wrote an editorial headline, "A President Unfit for a Pandemic." How would they make that judgment? Why would they make that judgment? How they do it is because they can. Why they do it is because they can. And they do it because it's Trump. And coming out of the Boston Globe, don't expect any support for this White House. But more importantly than that, they're going to use this, and they're going to again step forward and use the crisis facing this nation as a weapon against the president, when in fact they're also using it as a weapon against Americans. They want to constantly put everything at his feet. Now, I'm going to break down an article in a moment written by Chris Cillizer, or whatever his name is, with CNN and NNN. And they want to say, well, we're not really trying to blame him. Oh, yeah, but they are. And when Jim Acosta goes on CNN and NNN last night and says, Anderson, everybody in that room could sense he's scared. See, if he came in and acted blustering and bluffing like, you know, we're all going to be okay and everything, they'd say, well, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it yet. And here he's acknowledging we need to be aware of this. And the next 2 weeks are going to be very, very tough, America. We need to come together on it. And for that, he gets labeled scared. Let me take a break. When we come back, let me share another part of that story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, I should demand hazard pay for what I do for you folks. I really should, because I'm the one who goes through all this CNN crap and pull out material that you need to know about because you don't want to dig through it yourself. And I don't blame you. I wouldn't. Somebody's got to get their hands dirty. I'm glad to do it for you. I really am, because I want to continually put in front of you how groups like that on the left want to ignore facts, twist facts, write their own narrative, and only apologize if they absolutely must, and then the damage had already been done. So Chris Cillizza, who's a CNN editor-at-large, wrote a column, and it's titled, "Why Donald Trump Shouldn't Get Credit for Finally Realizing Coronavirus is Actually Deadly Serious." He used a remark saying, "Our country's in the midst of a great national trial, unlike any it's faced before," quoting Trump. And then he added, "Which, well, it's about time." He said, "The truth here is that everything Trump said yesterday about the spread and dangers, even the number of dead, has been known publicly for weeks." Has not been known publicly for weeks. That's why it was a news conference, new information coming out. If you've known it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, Don Cizilla or whatever, Chris Cizilla, why didn't you break the story that this virus could kill, or infect, I should say, 1 million to 2 million Americans and could kill 100,000 plus? That would have been your Pulitzer Prize story of the year. No one knew it for those weeks. And they're doing it now based only on some projections they have. They still don't know. But what he's trying to say is that Trump didn't want to believe how bad it was in the beginning. He said, "We decided..." Or rather, he decided the scientists were wrong, so he didn't want to do it. Didn't want to really come out and make it that clear. And Trump had said yesterday, when he got asked by Jim Acosta or the day before, said, "I'm not trying to panic anybody. I mean, I don't want to panic. You want me to say that's like the jet pilot gets on the when you got that turbulence, it gets on there and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be a little bumpy here for a while. Tighten the seat belts, please. We're going to ask you to stay seated. It'll be fine. Or do you want them to get on and say, God bless, what's going to happen next? So because the president takes a tone of understanding and let's don't get carried away, let's get more facts, it's not good enough. So then Cazilla adds, now to be clear, this is not to lay blame for the coronavirus at Trump's feet. Oh yeah, now you want to make it clear? You haven't been making it clear. Then they go on and say, but there's no question that Trump was downplaying the virus in these crucial last few weeks. Downplaying it. And said, we are now faced with the blunt reality of significantly more deaths of Americans from coronavirus than died in the Vietnam War, which is 58,000. So, again, it's a matter of what they can do to use this as a weapon against the president at a time of crisis rather than standing with the president. I've got another piece of information. I told you how CNN did not cover all of his news conference the other day. I want to talk to you about the backlash they're getting off of that, and I'm glad. But we're going to take a break when we come back. First, I'm going to have a guest on, Steve Bucci, talking about how important our borders are at this point. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest, Steve Bucci, 3 decades as Army Special Forces officer, top Pentagon official, now with the Heritage Foundation, an expert when it comes to U.S. security. Steve, as always, glad to have you on board. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me back, Larry. It's good to be here.
Now, I want to get into something I saw you published yesterday, March 31st, yeah, about... Yep. Our travel restrictions regarding coronavirus between Canada and Mexico. Now, we've been pushing this point to the – I keep raising it every day. When am I going to hear some of the members on the left or the Hollywood elite or the mainstream media say, you know what, I guess we do need to have good border security so we don't have coronavirus just coming across our border unchecked? Your take, sir.
Yeah, this is, you know, a common sense thing that we have to do. They did it separate bilateral agreements with Canada and with Mexico. They actually requested it from us. It wasn't even a U.S.-initiated system. And we're working together to allow essential traffic to go through, you know, government business, commerce, that sort of thing. But all of the other stuff, vacations, just visiting relatives, that kind of stuff, is going to have to stop for a while. We've got to tighten things down. We got to check the people that are trying to go back and forth, making sure, one, they're doing it legally, but two, that they're not in the midst of, you know, obvious coronavirus symptoms, and let them come back and forth. You know, they don't want our people who are infected going north or south, and we don't want theirs coming into the United States.
I find it's it. What, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just what sovereign nations do to protect their citizens. Every sovereign nation does this to protect its citizens.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because a lot of folks were immediately thinking, well, Trump's going to use this as another way to reinforce the border, which, yeah, we are doing that. But like you said, Mexico had came to us and said, we don't want Americans crossing the border coming down here because you guys have got this coronavirus everywhere. Not to say they don't have it in Mexico, although I haven't seen any numbers on it.
Yeah, that's right. The and then same thing in Canada. They've got issues up there. They don't want our folks going that direction. It's not being mean. It's not being racist or even nationalist, frankly. It's being responsible as national leaders for the people who elected them.
Well, how in the hell is that different then when we're trying to say you can't come in across our border illegally because we have immigration laws?
It is absolutely no different, Larry. You know that. I know that. It's the same argument. It's not being mean to anybody else. If people want, I mean, we still take immigrants here, lots and lots of them, but they're supposed to come legally. They're supposed to go through a very defined system, which, frankly, I'll be the first to admit, is kind of screwed up. We need to fix it because it punishes people who try and use the system correctly, and then you have, the Speaker of the House and all these others who want to say, well, if you come here illegally, we'll just give you a pass and let you stay. That's just wrong.
No, that's something else that I saw a report on, that because they now have this joint agreement that previously, you're right, if they came across and we found them coming across illegally and they said they wanted to claim refuge or asylum, that we had to kind of take them in, kind of have some time with them, but now within 90 minutes, basically, we're able to put them back across the border and say, no, because of the virus, we don't have to go through that. You're going back right now.
Yeah, and that's what we should be doing all the time. You know, if they want to claim asylum, fine. Wait over there on the other side of the border, put in a claim, and wait for your turn for your case to come up. But this idea that let them in and just let them wander around the country until we get to their court hearing, which, a huge percentage never show up for that asylum hearing.
Are you serious? Are you serious? They don't show up, Jim, when they say, hey, Steve, they say, yeah, I'll come back in 30 days. They don't show up, huh?
Can you imagine that?
Now, the other thing is, even before the coronavirus, when we had the influx of 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we suddenly had everyone pouring across the borders, and we were suddenly finding cases of TB and other diseases that we pretty much had eradicated or had under control in this nation, suddenly popping up across the face of our nation as they then came across and migrated, moving freely about the country and spreading it into schools and families and communities that without being properly vetted health-wise.
Yeah, that's, and I think we've talked about this before. My grandparents, all four of them were immigrants to the United States. They were all legal immigrants. They came through, several came through Ellis Island. Some others came through Rhode Island. But when they got here, they had to go through a pretty rigorous health screening. And there were lots of immigrants, white immigrants from Europe. So they weren't, that were being mean to a certain group of immigrants. But if they had health problems, they were turned back. They had to go back home. So they just rode all the way over here on a boat across the Atlantic Ocean, and they had to turn around and go back because they would not be allowed in the country if they didn't meet the health screening criterion. And, the fact that we're trying to do that now, everybody's crying foul. Oh, you can't do that. That's not right. You're just being a racist. That's just nuts. We have a right to do it. It's in the law, and it only makes sense to do it, and we owe it to our citizens, the natural-born ones and the legal immigrant ones, and, frankly, our legal non-citizen residents here, to protect them from this kind of thing. And, Mexico has a right to ask it of the United States, and Canada has a right to ask it of the United States, in the same way we have a right to ask them to be able to control those two borders. So in this case, I think our government is doing the right thing at the right time. It seems that they're trying to do it the right way. They don't want to, you know, put any more kibosh on economy than we have to. But it's going to slow things down, and, you know, people are going to be inconvenienced. But you know what? You know, the wider health concerns are part of that, and we have to make the adjustments.
You're listening to Steve Bucci with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in U.S. security. Now, we're talking about actually at the border. Folks can still, I assume, get an airline out of any city in the U.S., fly to Cancun or Mexico City. Of course, they have to go show a passport when they arrive and things of this nature. That's still allowed, right? They haven't shut down all traffic going back and forth. You're just talking about actually along the border itself, land crossing?
No. It's movement of non-essential traffic of every sort, whether it be
so if
on
you're
a boat,
planning a
an airplane.
If you're planning a vacation Cancun right now, it's not going to happen.
Not until they lift those requirements. Now, it was only on there for a 30-day period initially, so we're actually part of the way through that. But at the end of that 30 days, if I was a betting man, I'd say they're going to extend it at least for another 30 days, you know, until this settles down enough where the people in authority can make a reasonable risk assessment and say, okay, we're willing to do it just with screening. And, you know, as long as you're not showing the symptoms, you'll be able to go. They'll adjust those restrictions. But for right now, if you had a plan to go to Cancun next week, you're not going.
Let me ask you this. We have a situation with your take on this Holland America cruise ship that wants to dock in Florida. Governor DeSantis does not want to allow it because they've had four on board die of coronavirus, and they're about 130 apparently sickened. President Trump is urging him to allow it to be docked and to take care of them. Although the previous week, the president was against a ship doing that off the coast of California. How do we handle those kinds of situations when they show up at our shore?
Well, these are the things, Larry, that's like a major humanitarian conflict there. You know, we want to protect our people. Surely we don't want these people to get off the boats and just say, oh, well, welcome to America, and, you know, let them go home. These folks need to go to some sort of, you know, definite quarantine. They've all been exposed to this, regardless of where they have symptoms. Even if they show up negative on the test, they need to be isolated and watched until we can have 100% assurance they're not contagious. But, you know, there is a certain point where we're going to, you know, when we brought our citizens back from overseas at the beginning of this, we had to quarantine. This is the same sort of deal. Right. Some of these folks are not our citizens, but they desperately want to get off that boat because they're afraid if they stay on the boat, they're going to die. And they can't get adequate health care on the ship.
And all these sanctuary cities and states, maybe they'd be willing to welcome unvetted, unverified coronavirus victims into their homes.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Most of those sanctuary cities don't even want the people they're talking about giving sanctuary to, really.
Yeah, they don't. It's a political move only, right?
Yeah, this is a thing. You know, I think it was the medical advisor to Governor DeSantis was on the other day, and he said, look, we'll let these people land, but they should land at the commercial port. They should land at, you know, one of the, cargo port.
Right.
And be screened and then moved immediately to a solid quarantine area, not just put them in a hotel and say, you know, self-quarantine.
Right. Steve, we're going to shut it down there, but I hear exactly what you're saying. They've got to be properly treated, vetted when they come through. Steve Bucci,
absolutely.
Again, thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again.
Okay, Larry, it's good to talk to you. Take care.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As I promised, I want to go back over again and show you how CNN Network and all the leftists are trying to use this virus as a weapon against President Trump. It's not doing any good for our nation when they do this. None. But I'll give you some examples again. I had mentioned earlier that Jim Acosta, I don't care what name he goes by. He's an Acosta person anyway. But he's telling Anderson Cooper last night, saying, I was sitting in the president's press conference yesterday, and I tell you, I've never seen him look like that. I think he is scared. And, of course, they're trying to suggest he's not capable of leading the nation at this point. That's what they're trying to suggest. With that, keep in mind that as the president began that news conference, CNN decided to follow, I guess, the lead of news nonsense guy Don Lemon Fruitcake, who had also said the previous night, I don't think we should be covering these conferences anymore. All he does, he gets up there and talks and so forth. We shouldn't cover him when he's up there. Just wait for the experts. So then the audience at CNN yesterday, when the president came on with this startling report on the numbers and predictions and saying how bad it could be for the next 2 weeks, their audience didn't hear what he had to say.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel. But this is going to be a very painful, very, very painful 2 weeks.
That's important information. But because they are so anti-Trump, and trying to demean him and to slander him and slur him and defeat him, the resist movement rearing its head and saying, we're not going to let you on the air. And they're supposed to be a news organization. You know what they did? They continued scheduled programming. And in fact, they didn't start airing the briefing only after President Trump wrapped those remarks up and turned the podium over to his task force member, Dr. Deborah Birx. The network carried most of the rest of the briefing, including Trump taking questions later. That was a long briefing, 2 hours. They've been after and demanding transparency, and here was one of the more, as one critic of CNN said, one of the more substantive briefings to date, and you didn't carry it. Because the day before, Don Lemon Fruitcake had called on his network to don't carry the guy live. And they all got together and said, that's a good idea. Let's don't carry him live. We've already got a PBS station up in Seattle, Washington area that's not going to carry him live. And then I'm looking at a comment from a political strategist, Drew Holden. He said, CNN isn't broadcasting the President of the United States giving an update on a pandemic and is instead tweeting about a former president complaining about fuel standards regulations. He was referring to the fact that you had Obama put out a tweet saying a rare criticism, as they were calling it, a rare criticism of the Trump administration after it announced it's rolling back Obama's signature fuel standards and to combating the climate crisis, saying Americans, quote, have to demand better of their elected leaders. So the elected leader for the United States of America is on the floor briefing America about the next 2 weeks and how critical it's going to be that we hold the course, we continue our social distancing, and that we keep ourselves aware of the threat of coronavirus. But CNN wants to talk about, well, he's been rolling back the CAFE standards when it comes to fuel proficiency and pollution that Obama put in to protect us from climate change, you know. The you would think that they'd have to acknowledge it. Yeah, we blew that. We should not have done that. But CNN President Jeff Zucker decided it was okay the way they did it. Now they're going to end up changing. They'll do it again now in the future. They'll either take some or they won't take it. I think at this point, and I don't care what network you follow or read or you want to be, I don't care which side of the fence you're on politically. If we were in the midst of this virus and Obama was up there making some comments, I want to hear what he had to say in total. Now, of course, many aren't even watching CNN anymore, and numbers are going to get less now anyway. Because even if they're going to deny even their most loyal denying them information that they might consider, let me make the decision, I hope he comes back to bite them in the arse severely, where they can't sit down without feeling the pain. All right, we're going to put things together and prepare another program for you for tomorrow. We'll be back, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.